Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Well, we're going to continue on in a message I began on Monday, which I've entitled The Law of the New Covenant. And with the Lord's help, I want us to understand in a greater dimension how God operates and works with His people. I'm going to make a statement, and then I'm going to try to bring understanding to what I'm about to say. And that is, God will not be held in bondage to His word or law. Now, that might be kind of a shocking statement to make, but please allow me to present to you what I feel is my understanding and a deeper understanding of God's ways. My husband, Brother Glass, always used to say, God always answers prayer. Sometimes He says no. Now, let's go to an example in Scripture. I have a friend, and this might sound humorous, until I realized she was absolutely serious. She would not read the book of Job. She was a new covenant believer, and she believed in the prosperity and the blessings and the divine favor of God. I thought she was just joking. She was serious. She wouldn't read the book of Job. And I don't know, beloved, and I'm trying to speak very delicately and very tactfully about a subject that I think we need to come to terms with. I have heard people say with strong conviction that the reason Job went through all that he went through, he suffered all those afflictions because he was fearful. Why? The word says very clearly, Job declared himself, "The things I feared have come upon me." But beloved, let me just share my understanding of that book. There was a lot going on in that book. There were many lessons that Job needed to learn. But beloved, the greatest purpose of what Job went through was to demonstrate the reality of something that God wanted to declare before the very courts of heaven. In the very opening chapter of that book, it says very clearly that Satan came before the presence of the Lord, and God said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" God himself directed Satan's attention to Job. He said, "There's none like him in all the earth, a perfect and upright man who escheweth evil." In other words, with all of his heart, he was a powerful and beautiful representative of someone who really loved and followed God. But the whole point of this book is that Satan made a charge and he said, "Oh yeah, God, the only reason Job is serving you is because you have blessed him so much. You put a hedge of protection around him. You take that down and you know what? That's the only reason he serves you. If you take that hedge to be removed, if he starts to go through trial and suffering and tribulation, he's going to curse you to his face." Well, God was ready for that challenge, and he said, "Satan, you go ahead. I'll take down the hedge. You do whatever you can do, only don't take his life." And so what we see, yes, I mean, it was so much bigger than Job. It was a declaration to all of the universe and the inhabitants of that universe saved, or the angelic beings, those who were serving God and those who were not, that God could have a relationship with man. He could have a relationship based on nothing but love and trust. People have said Job was not a man of faith. He said, "Yea, though God slay me, yet will I trust him." Oh, that we could have his measure of faith, beloved, as I've shared from time to time. Job is one of my heroes. I've heard people say that actually, if you pray and stand on the word of God, if you do not confess anything negative, if you continue to praise God and do everything you know to do, you are going to see, it's just that simple. God has promises in his word. You fulfill all those promises. You are going to have the victory. And if you don't, I've actually been in circles where it has been said that's a faith failure. In other words, it's something you have done which illustrates you were not fully trusting God. And beloved, I do not believe that is the case. When I made that shocking statement that God will not be held in bondage to his word, yes, his promises are true. He is a God, a faithful and merciful God. But one thing I want you to understand, beloved, is God's sovereign will is ultimate. It is the highest operating principle that is operating, if you will, in our lives. And sometimes, I'm thinking back, goodness, years ago when we had a church in the San Francisco Bay Area, there was a precious couple in leadership in the ministry, and they lost a beloved young teenage son. And they had done everything, we all had done everything we knew to do. There was no negative confession. There was absolute trust, standing on the word of God, and yet God took that young life. And perhaps many of you have had that experience. You believed for healing for a loved one, and God didn't answer prayer. He took them home. And I'm sad to say that father to this day has turned away from God because of that experience. And beloved, we have to understand that the ultimate final answer, the final authority, is God's will in a matter. For his purposes, we may never understand in this lifetime why God chose to move the way he did, especially, and this is very painful when it comes to our loved ones, we don't understand the full picture. We may not understand in this earthly life, but I believe there is a time when we're with the Lord, everything that has been confusing, everything that we have not understood, we will marvel at God's wisdom and his loving kindness of why he did what he did. But you know what? Bottom line is, he doesn't have to give us an explanation. He's God. Shall the clay say to the potter, "Why have you made me this way?" or "Why are you doing this?" Come on. He is God Almighty, and he can do what he chooses to do. And so, beloved, while we stand on the promises of God's word, while we have to be obedient to what he declares to see his promises fulfilled in our lives, this is the general rule. This is how we operate. But beloved, if God chooses to make an exception, then we cannot get our feelings hurt and we cannot be offended. And I am going to give you some scriptural examples of what I'm talking about. In Jeremiah, let me just share this scripture, 31 and 33, the word of the Lord says, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." There's an example that I want to share with you found in the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 8, this very principle. "At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were in hunger and began to pluck the ears of the corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, 'Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day.'" Jesus was forever doing that. "But he said unto them," Jesus did, "'Have ye not read what David did Listen to this. He's giving an example out of Scripture. What David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God, and listen to this, did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. This was the statute, this was the commandment that God had given to Moses. This was the law of the old covenant, and David violated it. And he goes on to say in verse 5, Jesus, or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known, see, he's talking to them. Do you have any understanding? If ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. There's a parallel passage found in Mark, the second chapter, verse 27, which says, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for the sake of man or to serve man and not man to keep the Sabbath. Do you understand the ways of the Lord? God created the Sabbath for man as a way that he could draw closer to the Lord. But God didn't make man to make him a rule follower. In other words, there are all these regulations that you can and cannot do on the Sabbath, and this is why God created them, to have a robot who would do all these things. Oh, beloved, we serve a wonderful, beautiful, principled God, and he wants us to transcend, to understand his very heart. That's why I'm sharing this message. Now, there's going to be another powerful scripture I want to share with you, but we'll have to wait till tomorrow's broadcast, and I pray that you'll be able to be with me. I'm taking longer than I intended to be. I thought we could just go finish this week, but with the Lord's help, we're just going to go on as he enables us to continue, that we can learn these deep and powerful spiritual truths and apply them to our lives. Thank you so much for joining me. Listen, if you have prayer needs and the Holy Spirit's moving on your heart, he has a reason for doing that. Please obey him. The announcer will give our contact information. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,